SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Satellite. And don't forget our mobile app.
Face it.
The winning edge is everywhere.
Somewhere there's a squirrel frustrated he can't get a phone.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this gonna be?
Moneyline.
Oh! Are you kidding me?
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Here we go, people. The best hour of your day is now officially underway. It is Moneyline. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. It's SiriusXM Channel 159. And away we go with a ton of hot topics to get after. So many different ways we can go on this show today, Kevin. But I do want to start here very quickly. We'll get to Pat Bev, who just got suspended 4 games. Sham Sharani, a tweet comes out here. Two guys in the NFL named Daniels and Neighbors who have a $10,000 offensive rookie of the year bet between each other. They're each going to lose $10,000 because neither one of those are going to win it, but that's besides the point. You also have Paul Skeens out here about to make a start on Saturday versus the Cubs for the Pirates. Things are going in the right direction. But in the gambling realm, Kevin, didn't have a great day yesterday. And sometimes I talk about, you know, just have a solo show on Thursday. It's like, man, there are any players that just piss you off to no avail. Like, they always do you dirty. And Kevin could probably not even answer the question. I just go, well, Kevin likes Jason Tatum in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
You need him to get 30, he gets 15. Uh-huh. You don't bet him next game, 45 points. Need him to get a 3-ball, doesn't even get one of them. Next game goes 4-for-8 from 3-point range. Yes. There's a couple guys right now for me. One guy, Kevin, that never performs for me at all is Ellie De La Cruz. As I told you, like, his stats, I think, are hollow, fake. I bet him like 4 times. I don't even think he gets on base. I don't even think he's got a base hit, let alone an RBI. But this guy, Jock Peterson, out here just this week alone, Kevin. Bet him to get an RBI, didn't get one. The very next day, solo blast. The next day, bet him to get an RBI, didn't get one. Today, first inning, solo blast.
No.
Now, granted, the numbers didn't dictate, like, well, I'm just going to lay off, because the numbers actually didn't dictate betting him the past 2 nights that I didn't bet him. But those games he hit home runs, the games that made sense, dude's out here like 0 for 5. So maddening, to say the least, here at that point. Now, besides Tatum, do you have a guy or a team that just does you dirty?
You know, what's funny is Dante DiVincenzo burned me a few times this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now hesitating on live Dante bets that would be winners. And it's very difficult because gamblers play this trick on themselves. Ah, he's only going off because I didn't bet him. Like, if I bet Dante, he would be continuing to clank, clank, clank from beyond the arc.
It's the same way for me, like a day baseball compared to night baseball. There's no correlation, but I swear to God, I'm 75% winners at night and 25% in the afternoon, just the way it goes. I didn't take anything this afternoon because it really didn't warrant it just yet, but I do get a kick out of that. It's like, hey, afternoon baseball, like yesterday, let me take Harper and Marsh. I mean, two guys that are raking right now. Numbers make so much sense. Gets a guy like Bassett, you know, 0 for 4 and 1 for 4, no RBI, and I just get a slow laugh out of that. Like, yeah, because if that was a night game, Kevin, Harper hits his 4th straight day with a home run, no doubt in my mind.
Here's the one thing I will just say. Dude, I hope people understand how bad the Tatum stuff has been for how long. That Donnie went,
yes.
All right, anyone other than the guy we all know ruins your bets every single time you bet him. But here's the other thing, though. I took Tatum to lead the Cavs Celtics series and made threes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look, it is what it is. Me watching him in game number one, oh, yet under 20, and you know that that's what people needed to close out legs of parlays. Like, and I just laugh. I feel bad for people. I'm not laughing at people for losing money. It's that, of course, Tatum is the guy that came up short. Derek White hit a gazillion threes. Jaylen Brown couldn't miss a damn shot. And Jason Tatum's out there like, man, this Cavs defense is really got us all in hell, huh, fellas?
It's always that way. And it feels with the Celtics. The one guy that always gives me good luck, though, is every time I've taken a Derek White prop, and it's usually not for like the full amount. It's like, let me just throw two in there just to try to get a little bit extra plus money. He's always been good to me. But Tatum and Brown have been so maddening, Mick, because they have the ability to go 5 of 10 from the three-point line every game. And sometimes, like, Jalen Brown hit 4 3-point shots yesterday. And I'm saying to myself, hold on now. Like, this guy's the king of, I need him to make one, and he goes 0 for 2, like, barely takes anything. This point. So just happens in that direction. It's the way it is. And by the way, there is afternoon baseball today. Diamondbacks 1-0 over the Reds in the fourth inning right now. But the Mariners Twins is 6-1 in the bottom of the third. You might say, wow, that's a lot of runs. Kevin, did you know what the total was in that game? What it closed at?
No, I didn't even see it.
6.5. Full game.
Oh,
seven.
Geez.
Seven by the third inning. Yeah, seven by the
really?
Third.
Really?
6.5. Two good pitchers against some lineups that could struggle there, torching the baseball, particularly the Twins today. So those are the ones I got a kick out of. Like, ooh, 6.5. That game's going to end 3-1. No, they got seven before they get out of the third inning already. Case closed, go home, easy dub.
Yeah, this Mariners team's pretty interesting because they've kind of found themselves atop of that of the West, or, you know, a little back and forth, I guess, with Texas. But we all know they have great pitching. Man, is that lineup underwhelmed, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, and J-Rod's not off to to a fine start. He's not off to the MVP stuff that people were hoping he could bring to the table.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, it is a disaster, this Seattle lineup, it feels like, on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy how this one wound up, that it's already at that seven number. Now, not a huge Major League Baseball card today. Next game up, 3 o'clock, Giants-Rockies, then Astros-Yankees, Guardians-White Sox, Cardinals and Brewers. That game of makeup from yesterday. Sonny Gray was supposed to go yesterday. We'll go today. Then the Royals-Angels late night tonight with Waka and Detmers. Not a great card overall, but if we pick and choose, get some updates here and see if something makes some sense, we'll certainly jump on that. But let's get to some of the news that just broke in the past, what, 30 minutes? Less than 30 minutes, probably past 10 minutes. The NBA suspended Bucks guard Patrick Beverley 4 games into next year.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what it does, because typically the NBA, and, you know, just like any business, like, you know what? Bev's not real a big deal here out on the court. Let's throw 25 games at the guy, so we'll make him prove a message to everybody else that wants to try some of this nonsense. We've now seen, though, Kevin, over the past couple days, Jamal Murray legitimately throwing things on the court mid-game, not get a suspension, and get a fine. Patrick Beverley, which the cardinal sin in sports that they will tell you all the time, you play in a gladiator coliseum. Your rule is the court. Anybody comes on that court, we got you. Like, if they invade and they think they're going to come after you, you guys got to do what you got to do. We got tons of security to handle that. The one thing you can't do is you can engage with the fans, you know, because you see it all the time. Man, let me take a little video of this. Hey, LeBron, you're a bomb. And he gives you a little bit of guff there. That's all part of the game. That's trash talking, right, from the home crowd. As long as you keep it somewhat in bounds, right? But Patrick Beverley, let's just say this play, and it didn't, because I guess this is why the NBA can get away with this. Throws that basketball in the crowd, hits the lady in the head. That's your wife, that's your girlfriend. You charge the court to try to take on Patrick Beverley, and there is an absolute melee in that building. Kevin, he probably won't play in the NBA again, but since nothing happened, it's 4 games. It's kind of wild how that turns out.
I'm stunned. I really am. I promise that I am not the... I like to believe, like, I'm not an overreaction, oh my goodness, get rid of this guy thing. If you would have said, hey, more likely, Pat Bev, 4 games or banned from the NBA, I would have said banned from the NBA. He threw the ball at a fan, right, because of heckling, in a close proximity, said, oh, my bad, hit the wrong person, give me it back, and then threw the ball again even harder. Like, that's before the NBA paired along the Pat Bev post-game antics where he wouldn't answer questions to people who didn't. Now, being suspended for that is ridiculous, right? Like, you don't need to be suspended for that. But since they grouped it in, they thought that was bad. Like, it was 3 games if he was polite during the press conference.
So, wait a second. I didn't read anything on top of it. That's not included in the suspension, is it?
It's like, included. It's included.
Oh, that's really
and
good.
An inappropriate interaction with a reporter. Now, again, I don't really believe... I think Pat Bev was an ass. I'm not defending what Pat Bev did, right? But that is not that's not suspendable. Refusing to answer a question unless someone follows your podcast. The fact that they roped that in, and they were like, 4 games.
Yeah, I'm starting this up now.
What if you would have hit someone in the face?
Exactly. I'm starting this up right now, too. If you don't listen to the radio show, look, don't even tweet at me. Don't even try to talk to me, even in the streets. I'm answering those new questions just that way. A lot more to get to today. Don't go anywhere. It's SiriusXM Channel 159, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, right back at it here. By the way, did you check the NBA out last night? 130-121 final. Knicks over the Pacers. End up covering the 5. I thought the right play would have been the Pacers in that game. Is that a 10-point lead at the break? No idea if Brunson was coming back. Probably wasn't going to come back. Should have been an easy cruising victory. And then if you watch in the final minute and you say to yourself, like, you know what? I might still be able to get this backdoor cover. Another horrendous foul. The game was basically over because it was over. Not a foul. The bad call that was then overturned in the Knicks' direction. Carla had enough, double text, you know, get the ball back, couple free throws, and that game goes to 9 points. But I don't know how the Knicks are winning basketball games because they, you look at just the box score on the Pacers and be like, they did what for the bench? Halliburton went out for 36, missed a full quarter for Brunson. OG Anunoby leaves the game with a hamstring injury, which we won't see him for 3 weeks. Don't care about what anybody else says. He won't appear again. Don't worry about it. I know my hamstrings. He's hurt. I don't know how the Knicks are winning. And by the way, you know, it's funny, too, because I didn't know it was a hamstring injury until I read it, because I didn't watch the game all the way through. And I was like, ooh, we'll see. It was availability. And I love just getting on this network and be like, I'll tell you his availability. And I don't know if it's the athlete, Kevin, if it's the national media. Do we understand that hamstrings aren't sprained ankles? Or it feels like, oh, it's only a hamstring. Like, that's that career ending, and you can just get back out there. Like, you can't do that. Like, OG Anunoby is not going to be back for this Knicks series. That is massive. But the Knicks go up 2-0, which, if you say, okay, Donnie, Brunson's banged up. OG Anunoby's not going to come back. We know Mitchell Robinson isn't going to be there. But he's still going to beat the Knicks 4 out of 5 games, and you're not doing that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I don't agree with the definitiveness, and neither do the books, Donnie.
It's going 7.
Indiana's a... Okay, so, Donnie, if this goes 7, right, then... Aren't there a lot of good bets to make on the Pacers?
Yes.
Plus 122, plus a game and a half, plus 300
no, plus
to
two
win
and
it.
A half. Yeah, give me the plus 2.5, which was like minus 144 this morning. Me and Ben were going over that because I agree with you there. It's now it's a Pacers series to bet, even though I still think that the Knicks win it. I just like that 2-1 price to get to game 7 and love the 2.5 games now for the Pacers.
Look at the Indiana line for Friday.
A set with 7 only, right? Yeah, 7.5 now.
Wow. That's more points than the Knicks have laid at home in the game.
Sure. Yep.
So, and is that Brunson? And this is not an anti-Knicks thing.
Is that Brunson? Might set this one out just to get right? Yeah.
I think it's OG's done, and who knows if Brunson's really fine. You know what I mean? Correct. I would be really surprised if Brunson goes from, I just played the full 24 minutes in the second half, to I need to miss game 3. Again, Donnie, Indiana hasn't lost a home game yet so far this playoffs. We just saw Cavs magic. All that mattered was home court advantage.
Yes.
Right? So it is one of those things. It would not surprise. And by the way, and this is where, like, you just have to be honest with yourself, right? As you know, if you're a Knicks fan, regardless, it's not like you're dog walking this team. Yeah. These are not routes. These
could
are really
0-2.
Close games.
Yourself.
Easily. Easily. I saw a great tweet. I don't remember from who. It was from Brandon Anderson, works at the Action Network. But it's basically like, the Knicks are 6-2, and I think they have been outplayed in maybe every single game so far.
Yes.
Like, and it's not even a negative thing. It's just like, I have no idea how this is going on. It's pretty wild to watch. And it is. It is wild to watch. Give them credit. Absolutely give them credit, Donnie, but it's trying to figure out, does the bottom fall out? That's what we always try and do in sports betting, right? Capitalize on value. You know, here's the deal, DRS. I'm just going to make a quick assumption. I know we'll get into these games a little bit more, but do you like the favorites tonight, Boston and OKC, to go up 2-0?
Yes, I do.
Don't you think odds are one of these teams then would blow the 2-0 lead? I mean, just statistically, right? One of these teams will blow it,
including the Knicks.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes. Not
probably
not the teams tonight. We have if the favorites win tonight, which is if you did a money line parlay minus 152, right? We would have 4 series all 2-0. Someone's coming back. again, like, I know everybody, and I'm not, and I know this is kind of a different bag of worms, but, oh man, Minnesota's going to sweep this team. Like, I don't know. What happened to all the respect we've been giving Denver for the last 2 years? Yep. Like, the Nuggets can't win game three, you're telling me?
Yes. And they give them an extended off just to get ready, recoup everything, because they play on a Friday. Yep. They get the whole week off. It's one of those series where if you are Minnesota, yeah, you're like, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding. We got these guys on the run. We're about to get them home. It should be a day and a half off and smoke them where they don't even get to wake up before they're down 0-3. Like, oh no, now we got to win four straight games. But now you let it settle in. Jokic gets the rest. And also Jamal Murray, who, forget about him throwing things on the court, that calf is a little bit squabbly here. You're like, oh, I get an extra like 2 days off? Yes, I'd be up for that. We'll see how that one plays out. I still think, obviously, that Minnesota just has to win one game at home in game three or game four, and that series is going to be done. I think they will do that anyway. But you do give a little bit more life to them to get back on the court. I'm like, okay, decompressed, had a week off to practice. Let's go out there and execute.
Yeah, again, I think that rest, I couldn't agree more. I think it works in the favor of the Denver Nuggets. Now, they are up against it. But also, Donnie, the Dallas Stars, I know they're not the same sports, but the Stars lost the first two games at home to Vegas.
Yeah.
They had 7 and one game 7 on their home ice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very interesting because all of a sudden it's like, man, Denver's terrible. Like, Denver was minus 200 to win this series. And I'm not talking about the Denver ripping off. Can Denver win game three? That's the question now. I'm interested in the Nuggets game three. So I'm trying to figure out then how else do I need to attack this series? Because that becomes the question. You can get Nuggets plus a game and a half at plus 275. 2.5 games at plus 125.
No, you're right. And you take a look at those. That game, again, the Denver Nuggets will play tomorrow night, not tonight. And they're getting 4.5 points, total 204.5, something to look forward to. But again, we're talking about that Pacers-Knicks game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. 7.5 number. That game, the minute that the Knicks-Pacers ended was minus 4.5. Then you're getting that information on things might not be looking so good. And the one thing you brought up about Brunson, which is correct, there's some things that you can do in the moment. Like, hey, hurts a little bit. Not broken. Let's give you a little pain meds. Get out there. Try it. We got the best trainers in the world. We could sort of tape you up there for that second half. But then the problem comes the very next day when the swelling kicks in, the adrenaline is down, and it's like, ooh, this doesn't feel so good. And also, from a Knicks perspective, you're 1-1, maybe forces himself out. I'm not saying he's sitting out at all. I'm just saying he might sit out in game number three going, okay, it's better that I rest now. So I'll get back at game number four, and I'll be much better for it. Now you get the ability. If you want to rest, you can do that. But the Pacers, certainly a heavy favorite there. A lot more topics to go here on a Thursday afternoon edition of Moneyline right here on SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh yeah, right back at it here. Good times right on the Sports Grid Network. Next week, by the way, PGA Championship. Did Scotty Scheffler have his kid today?
I don't know.
Or not.
Did he?
As of this morning, he didn't have his kid. And I kept on telling, like, Ben, like, how long have we been waiting for this baby to come along where he's going to have to still talk about, hey, I might have to miss this golf tournament to do this or do that. I hope he's out there and I hope he's focused because he's a 4-1 price, which is, again, the next closest competitor was like 11-1 with Rory McIlroy. It's going to be interesting to see where he's not in rhythm, but then jumping back out on a world-class golf course in an actual environment where you're trying to win another major at this point. But I thought I saw somebody, I think it was with McAfee maybe a little bit earlier today. I thought he's congratulating somebody, so I wanted to assume it might have been his kid now. Let me go on the Twitter machine here, see what we got here on Chef.
Did you bet any Wells Fargo
no.
action?
Absolutely not.
No? You didn't get a Scheffler kid. It's an elevate. But is Scotty playing in this event? No, right?
No, uh-uh. Nope.
What a shame.
What does he say here? I just typed in, like, Scheffler kid. Nothing's coming up at this point. Oh, yes. Here's the first one. It says, can we induce Meredith Scheffler for hell's sake? Get the kid here so we can see Scotty in the PGA. You know what? I'm with that. It's a good response out there on the Twitter machine. How long do we have to worry about this 4K dub? Tough scene out here.
I don't know. I'm hoping we can fade him, though, at the PGA.
Mm.
Like, I want him to have the kid and be there. I can't imagine. Like, Don, he goes a month away from competitive golf, and he's going to come back and win again.
Yeah, then you just shut it down. You just shut the season down at this point. What do you put him next tournament? Minus 100, plus 100, minus 105. It's going to get to that level. Like, hey, watch out. Like, we talked about with this, like, going on win streaks, right? It's like, man, this guy's down 7 shots. In 24 hours, he had the lead. It's like, you know, I give up. I don't understand what's going out here. Just let this guy pass through. Scotty's the best iron player in the world. Could drive it right down the middle, but he can't putt. He puts the lights out now. So what's next for Scotty at this point? Maybe it was the kid actually slowing him down. But no. So like I say, I mean, we got some time, though. It's only Thursday, so he's got to go till next Thursday. Maybe the baby comes in a week's time. I don't even know when the baby was due, but it felt like the baby was imminent during the Masters, and that was like 6 months ago, it feels like.
Did you see the thing I just sent you on Twitter? I hate to shift topics on the golf, but it is the most, it might be the most up-your-alley thing I've ever seen, and now I'm starting to have real questions here.
All right, hold on. So you sent it to me on Twitter. Did you retweet or just send me like a DM?
No, I sent you a DM. I never know. If I would have said I sent you a DM, you would have checked your text messages.
I would have.
Said I sent you a text, you'd have checked the DMs. Man,
you know what? I like where you're going here because I wanted to say that this morning. I was actually going to say, like, within 5 years, we're going to have a television deal on this. And it looks like people are beating me to the punch right now, my own ideas.
But, like, so soon. Yeah. This isn't making any sense to me. I got to be honest with you. This is a little too early. Like, Donnie,
we don't even know the full details.
Yet.
Correct. Yes.
And they're like, we already got the show made. Like, all right, I guess.
Now, movies, Kevin, you got to take some liberties here at this point too. Like, you know, like you say, look, we got the guy's life story, but you sort of embellish. Like, what can we embellish on Ohtani? Like, can we have, like, him walking into a casino and throwing down, like, $5 million on the blackjack table just to sort of throw everything? Oh, was he really gambling at that point here? Like, how do we embellish that story?
I'm not really sure. This is bizarre to me because this is so fresh. Like, usually, like, you know, like, we make fun of, like, the man in the arena, right? Or and all that nonsense with Brady. It's like, dude, like, it's not enough time has passed. This is going to be, like, they're going to be trying to plan out season one and having to change the script. Like, is all this stuff figured out?
Yeah. Who plays Ohtani in that, by the way? Like, what do they got? Hideki Matsui? I mean,
like,
who plays
Ohtani
going to
play?
Yeah,
he's like,
playing himself.
Like, I don't know.
That would be box office. You have like Mookie Betts making appearances in the background. Yes. Oh, that would be good. That would be really good here. Like, we can get a nice script together. Who's going to play the bookie at that point? You know, maybe Al Pacino, something like that. Older age. You know, we can really have a good time
have
with
to
this.
Sign off on this at all? Be like, yeah, man, make it a movie. I love this. Like.
You know, what are the rules with that? You're like, hey, look, you're going to make a movie about you.
I don't understand.
You remember Richard Simmons, like an infomercial guy for, like, you know, weight loss from back in the day?
Yes.
Well, he has a movie that's being made about him, but I believe it is Paulie Shore, which is absolutely perfect casting to play him. And he's absolutely furious and, like, won't, like, acknowledge the movie. So it's a good point you bring up because I don't know if he actually doesn't want the movie made. Like, we don't care whether they like it or not. We're using you and your likeness, and the movie's going ahead with it, even though the guy doesn't like it. So I don't know. Maybe you can just make it up at this point.
Are the uniforms going to say Dodgers or are they going to say Angels? Like, what is the plan here?
Exactly. Oh, and they're probably going to pick the worst actor to play Ohtani. You know what I mean? It'd be like a Michael B. Jordan out there. So I'm like, oh, man, this movie's gone at this point. This movie's a waste. You know what? I'll probably end up watching it. You know I will. If I'm watching Tyson Paul, I'm watching that too. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on a Thursday afternoon on the grid. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's some interesting bit of news, Kevin. I know you're a UFC guy. Here's what I get a kick out of. When I was younger, the original version of the UFC, you never thought it would last. There's a lot of things that come and go that are kind of interesting. But the reason I'm bringing this up is the very first UFC, I think UFC 1 might have been in Atlantic City. But UFC was basically back then, put two guys in a ring, You can use like axes, knives, guns if you want to. Anything goes. Just try to beat the other guy's head in. But the one guy died today, and he was called One Glove Jimerson. And if you ever see any of the highlights from UFC 1, Kevin, there was a guy that fought with one bare fist and one boxing glove, and he just passed away at 61. Kevin, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor. Somewhere on YouTube or whatever, UFC 1, when, again, there was no rules. Like, you were the one guy's name, which I think they're actually making a movie of this guy, called The Smashing Machine. He was a UFC guy, but his move was, I'm big and I'm strong, but I will just knee your head until your head fractures, like while you're laying on the ground. And they banned that move, and he couldn't win anymore. Like, he got destroyed in the ring. But yes, like, UFC has been wild over the years. Yes, this guy's move was, I'll keep kneeing you in your head, and it was unstoppable. And then they stopped, and the guy's like, what am I going to do now? I don't know, just get beat up every time I'm in the ring. But One Glove Jimerson died. I'm telling you, knock the guy down and just start bulldozing the guy's cranium with your knee. Fantastic. His name is the Smashing Machine, and that's what he did. Gosh. And then his move got banned, and he had to go away. Couldn't do it anymore. It's like a boxer saying, hey, man, look, you can't punch the guy's face. Like, what, am I just going to go body shots the whole get knocked out myself, man? What is this?
I know. I can't believe any fighter was so good that you took away the one move.
Yep.
He became terrible.
The Smashing Machine was his name. Famous, good guy. But when your finishing move gets taken away, like if you're in wrestling and you can't do like the choke slam, it's a wrap. Like, you never get a win again because you have no finishing move anymore. Yeah, like, wrestlers don't win unless you have a finishing move. Can you imagine? You're like, Kenny Omega's in the ring, can't do his finishing move. Like, he can never win again. Yeah. It's over. It's a wrap. Like, he's never going to win. He can only win by count out. That's it. Yeah. Yep. He's like, look, I bet this guy better get counted out. It's an absolute wrap. Oh. Guy's laying on there. It's like, hey, you're going to like pin this guy? Like, I don't even know how to pin a guy. Like, oh, well, he's back up again. So, tough scene on that end. But yes, One Glove Jimerson dies at the age of 61. Like, back in the day, like, some guys were wearing like those, what are they called? Geese? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Like, some were wearing that, some weren't. Some were just like 400 pounds fighting like a guy that used to, like, you know, fight on all fours. It's wild, man. UFC 1 was absolutely wild. You got to watch it.
Yeah, maybe have to pop it in the time.
I mean, you want to talk about this? The boys never saw that down in the basement. I mean, you put that on and try to say, hey, look, you know what? One day we're going to be able to watch this and bet on it. You would have been like, this is never going to be repeated. Like, because also UFC, for the longest time, no commission really wanted to sanction it because it was like, what is your sport now? Get in the ring and kill the guy. Like, I don't know if that's going to play with our New York State Commission at this point. So I think like Donald Trump had actually brought it to Atlantic City back when he was still in the casino business. And then away it went from there. Eventually got sold and turned somewhat legitimate as opposed to all hell breaks loose. What do you want to go in the ring with? I don't know. Let me have two fists. You go one boxing glove. I'll go with like a belt. I mean, it's wild stuff back in the day, but I guess that's how you pass the time. And here we are with a $1 billion industry at this point here. So just the way it goes. Two NBA games tonight. Celtics, Cavs, 13.5 spread. Mm-hmm. OKC, Dallas -5. Is it worth watching this Cavaliers game tonight? Or is it just like, yeah, I'm going to bet it because I have props. Because quite honestly, I saw everything I needed to see in game number one. And if Jared Allen is talking, Kevin, like he can't raise his arm still without pain, he's not coming back in this series. And I don't know if that would even make a difference win or loss-wise. I don't know. But if Donovan Mitchell has really good games and you get smoked, I don't know what to expect now from the Cavs.
Yeah, I think this is a team that is supposed to be able to keep the Celtics somewhat in check offensively. Like, that team isn't supposed to ever put up 40 in the first quarter. Like, if you'd have said right down to the crystal ball, hey, Cleveland scored 34 in the first. You got to win this game.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, oh, they might be up 10.
They're in this bad boy.
Right? Yeah. Like, wow. Yep. Okay, they jumped on it. Like, they were down 6. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a nightmare. So I think for Cleveland, you're right, Don. Look, they're not going to all of a sudden be like, all right, man, we'll put up 125 in Boston and start winning these. Like, their defense has to be picked up in a major way. Mm-hmm. Because, and look, they did a fine enough job on Tatum. Jaylen Brown and Derek White go 21 for 34, 11 of 18 from three. I mean, that's with Peyton Pritchard giving you 16 off the bench. Come on now. There's nothing they can do there. Up.
You know who needs to step up? You want me to give you a hint who needs to step up in this series? I'll give you
Max
the country.
Struess.
Germany. On, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll give you the country.
There you go. Yep.
This is the guy that you have to point towards. See, I love blowout scenarios because it makes me think, like, if we look at this game directly, and you shouldn't think this way, it's 212.5 total. If the Celtics blow out the Cavaliers, you're supposed to honestly think that, oh, yeah, well, that means like Tatum and Brown had really good games. I go the opposite. When I see a blowout, it means like Tatum had 16 points, Brown had 17, but then Derek White had 31, Peyton Pritchard had 22, Sam Hauser knocked down four triples off the bench. Like, I love the bench guys here. And I look at the points prop in this game. Pritchard at 8.5, Hauser at 5.5. You say, well, I don't know how long they're going to play. And then I always get back to like, well, if it's a blowout, there is a chance that these guys get more playing time in the second half because, as we always talk about, the blowouts very rarely hurt the bench guys, right? Or the B guys. The blowouts kill the starters because anybody in their right mind, like, wait a second, we're up 26 points with 6 minutes to go. Why is Jaylen Brown in the game? Now, granted, I did a live bet with the Celtics against the Miami Heat in one of these scenarios, and I thought it was great at the half. Like, you know what? Let me bet Pritchard to make a three, Hauser to make a three in the second half because they're going to get a lot of playing time. Tuning in, watch the game. It's like 2 minutes to go. They're up like 30 points, and Jaylen Brown and still, you know, everybody's firing away and no bench guys in the game. So you would think one thing, and sometimes it happens other ways, but that's the way I look at this game. Like, give me the backup boys on the Celtics today.
I get that. I will say, like, look at they just won that game by 25, Don, and you basically still got everything minutes-wise out of the key cards.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I'm not saying you can't get your Pritchards, your Hornets to give you good games. It's just, like, Don, if this game is even somewhat respectable, Jaylen Brown's playing 39 tonight. You know? So, again, I don't mind going to those other guys. I'm just saying I wouldn't worry about these starters because of some blood here. I'll be on Cleveland plus 13.5, though. Like, I'm going to keep – I'll continuously be on Cleveland. And if I lose the spread bet again tonight, I'll be playing some money lines when this game goes back to Ohio.
Tatum, 2.5 three-point shots. Brown, 2.5 three-point shots. Obviously juiced much differently there. Derek White, 3.5 at plus 128. Donovan Mitchell, 3.5 plus 140. So we'll see if he goes lower. And then when you see those numbers, it's always nice to go to those other markets just to say, you know what, to make 2 3-point shots, to make 3 3-point shots, as opposed to, say, make 4. But I'll tell you, regular season, like heading down the stretch, doing very well in those, like, oh, we'll give you an odds boost for this game. I'll take you in the playoffs, man. Been brutal on these. Even on some of these odds boosts, which you have some pretty good ones out here, 25 to get 25. Like, I can honestly say in the NBA, because usually my focus always, Kevin, is on Major League Baseball. But sometimes I see, like, okay, like Bet365 will throw up 50% odds boost, which they're doing in hockey, which I'm ashamed of myself. I didn't do it in the other game with the Rangers because play all the hits out there. Every single Ranger that you think is supposed to score a point scores a point every game. It's like printing money, but yet I didn't take it. But then I'm out here in the NBA trying to get 3-point shots to go, and it's like, man, this guy's not even shooting, or this is happening at this. Like, it's like 0 for 4, 0 for 5 on my last couple shots, where it's hard to pass up because they look so good when you lay it out, and then you see in the second quarter, it's like, hey, Porzingis makes a three to end. Oh, by the way, he limped off the court. Like, stop the madness, man. Like, I get so upset with that.
Well, yeah, the boosts have always been tough. The one tonight, Donnie, like, it's Chet for 15 and Luka for three threes. At some point, is Luka not going to go crazy from beyond?
That's a really good one. See that? It ties me right back in. Like, I doubled down. Bet365 and FanDuel had the same bet the other night. I want to say, it was SGA to get 25 and Luka to get 25. It's like, man, that is an unbelievable bet, and both are offering it. So you go 50 on one, lets me go 60 on the other. I'm like, this is awesome. It's like a double of a great bet. I wake up in the morning, saw Luka had 19 after scoring like 10 in the first quarter. I'm like, man, I just give up. And then, of course, yes, I'll lay off tonight. Luka's got 3 in the first half. Chet's got 14 at the break, and away you go. Let's keep it rolling here in the afternoon, right on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, let's go get them. Hey, we got scoring updates, people, in Major League Baseball. Oh. The Twins, 8 runs. Mariners, 1 run here. Let's see who's doing the damage. Every time I look at this, because, by the way, have had some pretty good success with Minnesota bats this year. They're priced really well, and I'll tell you, Kepler's been good. I haven't bet Kepler all that much this year. Jeffress has been money. I believe he homered yesterday, too. Homered again today. And also had a sack fly. But Edward Julian, I see, finally has an RBI, which kudos to him because his numbers, sometimes I think they make these numbers up on me. Like, ISO power number, anything over 200 is really good. Like, Julian's like 250, 260 with like a weighted on base percentage of like 380. And it's like, man, all right, take this guy. Never could get anything out of him, but it seems like today he's got an RBI. Taking a look at the Diamondbacks now, extending their lead to 3-1 over the Reds. Let me see who's doing the damage there at this point. So we had Peterson home run, Candelario home run to tie that at 1, then Gurriel doubled, and Suarez sack fly. So 3-2-1 there going up against the Cincinnati Reds. I did see a number here today, which I did get a kick out of. Ellie De La Cruz finally got a base hit today, breaking an 0-for-17 skid. But yet his numbers are phenomenal every day I look at him. Go make sense. It doesn't. Just doesn't make sense.
I mean, he is going to cruise, it looks like, to the steals leader of the baseball season.
Again, and he doesn't even get on base. How's that happen? I don't know.
What? Yeah, I don't know how you have that bad of luck with a guy who's having that type of season. It's kind of funny, too. Like, just they have to, like, put him in the MVP race. Like, he's not going to win it, but it's just like, yeah, but yeah, what he's doing, no one else is doing, man, right? Like, the home run. Yeah. It's the Acuna thing from last year, except Acuna was batting 340. What a season that was, man. What a season.
Yeah, now he's average this year, Ronald Acuna. Tough scene out there. Expect him just to be mowing it down. Now you got runaway MVP Mookie Betts out here in these streets. Shohei Ohtani. We were talking about the game yesterday from the Dodgers, which they won 3-1. Game finished in 1:55. Exactly what it's supposed to be. I mean, baseball, huge win. Huge win. If you're not going to have any like nonsense on the base pass out here and not a lot of runs, we don't need to see a 3.5-hour game. 3-1 game, 1:55, perfect. We all go home happy. Mm. But Will Smith didn't play yesterday. Teoscar Hernandez got into the fourth spot, got a couple RBIs, and rightfully so, because usually those guys are all on base in front of him. Like, Mookie Betts was like, I don't know, 340, 350 for Ohtani. Then Freddie Freeman, that was above 300. And then Will Smith, who didn't play yesterday, is usually the four-hole guy at 331. It's like, this isn't fair. Like, you're talking about the first four guys in your lineup that hit with power and average? How do you beat this team? And quite frankly, they're starting to catch fire with that top four, and they're getting good starting pitchers out of, like, Gavin Stone yesterday, who actually had a good performance.
The Dodgers are dominant. I mean, they're the best team, obviously. I think we know that. And what they did to the Braves, for the Braves, it has to be a big wake-up call. You know, that team, I feel like when we get to the playoffs, Donnie, you know, I remember, because you and I had a lot of debates about the bye week, right, and how much that matters in baseball and whatnot. You're like, listen, the Braves starting pitching is not that good. Like, when you get past Strider, it's very beatable. And Arizona had Gallen, and I believe, or not Arizona, or the Phillies beat them, right? Mm-hmm. The Phillies who knocked out Atlanta again last year. You're like, look, you have Wheeler, Nola, like, they have better pitching. Yeah. And now through the Braves, like, you're relying on Max Fried getting back to a level that I'm not sure he's going to get back to, and you're relying on Chris Sale being an ace. That's difficult, Donnie. That really, really is. That's a hard sell for me, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, look, baseball, the interesting part about it, too, is, again, we talk about the processes of going through the summer and see where these numbers, and it's like, well, the Astros 7-1 price now to win the American League, but you always have to remind people that, yes, they're 8.5 games back in their division, well under 500, but that's not a record that's like, okay, end of the season, they're under 500, right around 500, they make the playoffs, they have a chance to still win the American League pennant. They don't, obviously, if they don't make the playoffs at that point. So it's also, like, I don't know what we're getting out of Houston anymore. They're just getting smoked on a night-to-night basis. And you thought that turnaround a couple weeks ago, I think they won like 3 or 4 games, were like, okay, they're starting to round into form. They stink. They stink from top to bottom. They have like 3 or 4 really good hitters. Their bullpen isn't doing anything. They're starting pitching. Like, they're down to, they still have dominance all the way, 1 through, like, I've never heard of this guy, but he's dominant. Now we get these Spencer Arrighettis getting smoked out here. It's like, man, they are hitting some tough times now. Great things can't last forever, apparently. Houston's showing you that right now.
Are they, like, if they are cooked, is there a world that they are open for business? Because we just know that that's how baseball usually works, Donnie, is if you're bad, you're open for business kind of thing. And I don't, like, Jordan Alvarez, Altuve, Tucker, like, could any of these guys be on a list? Possibly? Is that even
remotely possible? I don't think so. Craig Mish was on with us today, and I sort of asked him that same question. Like, I know Houston isn't going to panic, but is there a time where they say, okay, We'll give it 3 weeks, and then we'll make moves to make this team better, or are they just going to sit on their hands and say, we're vets out here, eventually we'll get it right? But you're right about that. Major League Baseball teams, it's usually a year-to-year basis. Like, if you're really bad, most teams, like, sell at that deadline. Like, they don't even look towards the future with the older guys. Like, oh, well, we could get it together. Now, you know what? Let's just get rid of it. This team stinks, and we'll start over again. There's a lot of great baseball players still on that team, which I am kind of surprised because they're not overwhelmed with, like, injuries. Like, what do you want to do? They're down four stars. Like, the shell of those championship teams is still there, just not performing at all. It's like, hey, what do you do? Move Altuve into the cleanup spot? Like, because he's like, oh, other teams like, sure, make him the leadoff hitter. Nobody will be on base. Let him do his damage, and then we'll get everybody else out. I don't know what you do with them, but pretty soon we're going to start saying, like, they're 20 games under 500. No, they're not turning it around at that point.
What do those contracts look like? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of what. Because the Astros are an organization, you feel, right, that are like, no, like, we want to be, we're in or we're out, right? Like, yeah. We're not going to just stink. So Altuve, Donnie, is this right? Is Altuve a free agent next year? Yeah, now see, Donnie, we might be looking at a situation, or is he under payroll? Oh, no, he just signed an extension, Altuve.
Yeah, I thought he signed an extension, yeah.
Yeah, he did just sign it. Now, is Bregman a free agent?
Possibly. I don't know if any of them are they? I don't even know. I haven't heard any news about going into the last, he needs a big contract year or something like that. I haven't heard any of that stuff.
Bregman is the one. Bregman's a legitimate free agent at the end of this year. So Bregman could be on the move, right? I mean, at the end of the day, Donnie, if they're terrible, they're not sure if they're going to pay him. Bregman could be on the move.
Tough scene here. You know, that's a tough scene. 9 runs now for the Twins. Hammering Seattle at this point here. We'll give one final breakdown of those NBA games coming up tonight. A big night in the association. Looking to cash in some tickets here. How about it? We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action tonight. By the way, I'm telling a lot of people, and rightfully so, I'm not BSing them. I've been watching a lot of hockey when it's on TV, man. Just scrolling through, getting the vibe for the game. I actually watched the Bruins game right up to 1-0 through the first period. Woke up, saw 6-1, saw the shenanigans in that late game, which I love. Hockey is the one sport that's such an anomaly out here, Kevin. Like, you can just drop the gloves and go toe-to-toe like you're a heavyweight champion in this game. But here's the one thing I don't like. I don't like this. Hockey, we know they fight. Me growing up with hockey in the 80s and 90s, the visor wasn't a big thing back then, Kevin. Like, Brad Marsh of the Philadelphia Flyers for a long time never even wore a helmet because he was grandfathered in. I mean, think about that today, how stupid you have to be to not wear a helmet. But having said that, visors weren't a big thing, and most of the time the players thought it obstructed their vision. They just weren't used to it. And you know how players are, like, hey, I play fine with this. You put a mask on it for one game, I can't even play anymore. Like, get this off my face.
Progressive Insurance presents...
Eye, pal. But why are we fighting in the NHL and not taking our helmets off when we're fighting? Why is that not a thing? Like, when I see two guys square up with the visor, like, why isn't just, like, you know, a tip to the other guy? Hey, you know what? Let me unbuckle my helmet and throw it on the ice and let's go toe-to-toe here. Why is that?
I have no idea. I always find the fighting thing in the – fighting stuff in the NHL is a little bizarre to me. Like, it's very bizarre that it's just how it is. You know,
there actually should be fighting in football, though. There should be, and the reason you say this, because we have never seen it before. But I appreciate in hockey because it's such a violent sport where you can do so much damage with another weapon other than, like, your body with the sticks. Like, fighting in the hockey was used for, brother, if you're going to go out there and carve me up with a stick and expect just to skate off the ice, not happening. So therefore, the goons come in and be like, oh, you want to hurt my best player? Well, now your tough guy is going to have to deal with me. And then it's almost like, stop carving this guy with your stick. This guy's going to beat the hell out of me when I get on the ice. So it sort of self-policed itself. But I don't understand the let's drop the gloves and we're going to throw bombs. Same thing in the NFL, like two guys fighting with a helmet on. It's the most hilarious thing you will ever see, but they do it.
Yeah, they do. I think on the day we talk about a Pat Bev suspension, the world where in the NBA, be like, man, who do you think, like, throws the first punch tonight at Jason Tatum?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's not what? Like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, Kevin, picture. I mean, tell me right now. Like, you see it in hockey. Like, they showed it last night. It was Tkachuk was fighting. Was it who did he fight? Marchand at the end of the game? It was a great fight, too. But they were talking about on the bench. But the gathering of it, it makes it hilarious. Like, the two guys come over the board slow, throw the stick down, throw the gloves down, like, sort of get loose and, like, end up at mid-ice. Can you imagine the NBA, Kevin? Like, jump ball goes off, the four other guys, like, step away, and two guys are squaring up in the NBA at center court, and the fans are loving it. And then all you get, Kevin, is, like, a foul, and you have to leave for, like, 2 minutes. Then you can come right back in. What? My goodness, I'm telling you right now, if the NBA actually had fighting, can you imagine that? If you could drop it in the NBA, oh my God. Oh my God. How would it even work? Wow.
It just wouldn't. It just wouldn't. They're not allowed, clearly.
Gosh.
But in hockey, it's a draw. It's people tune in for it, apparently, which is just something.
It was way more prevalent back in the day. Like, again, the 80s were just mayhem across the board. Like, it was routine, Kevin, that the NFL, the NBA, excuse me, the NHL frowned upon it. Like, man, it was a bench clearing brawl last night. Yeah, I'll find the guys a little bit. And then they finally got smart. Like, if you go over that bench right now while people are fighting, like, you're done for like 40 games. And nobody ever did it again. It's the same thing in Major League Baseball where they just kept upping the ante, like, oh, we're going to keep charging the mound and give the guy 5 games. Yeah, you do that again, it's 50 games. Now, you can get beamed in the head with a baseball. Like, dude, as much as that hurt, I'm not getting a 50-game suspension for running out there. So in hockey, like, you could legitimately say, same as basketball, you drop the gloves, you'll never play in the NHL again. But the reason why, again, the NHL has it is it sort of self-polices itself in a way, which does make sense. But also, fighting is usually a big part of the regular season. It completely goes away unless you have a 5-goal lead in the third period. It's like, all right, now this doesn't matter. There's no handshake agreement. We're not going to fight. Let's just get all our frustrations out now. So by game three, it's all out of our blood at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be some good games tonight. Do you have any looks on the ice tonight?
You know what? It's kind of funny because I am seeing a 50% odds boost again here on Bet365. And I told you, like, I'm like unbeaten with the Rangers. So if you just go Panarin, Kreider, and like, I don't know, who's the other? Lafreniere. Leads to each get like a point. It usually cashes. But that under 5.5, that Carolina's a heavy favorite tonight, man. -170. Shame on the Oilers last night. The goalie stinks and cost that game up 4-1. But yeah, I think Carolina gets a 2-1 tonight. And that series goes 7. And away we go. Thanks for tuning in on a Thursday afternoon edition of Moneyline. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll be back. Have a good afternoon. See you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.